Exodus 33. It's a very interesting passage in here with Moses. Now, while you're turning there, how many of you like to have friends? Like three of you. Okay. All right. The rest of you don't like to have friends. But I like to have friends. And, you know, the Bible says if we're going to have friends, we have to show ourselves friendly, right? And so that's the way to have friends. Some people say, well, I don't have any friends. And I think, well, if you'd stop being so grumpy, you might have some friends. But in this passage, the Lord gives a testimony about Moses that is very interesting. Something that I looked at and I was like, man, I'd like to have that kind of testimony by God himself. So we'll pick up in verse number 7. And the Bible says this, it says, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, now catch this phrase, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. That's a message all in itself, talking about Joshua there. But we're going to focus on Moses this morning and that phrase where it says, as a man speaketh unto his friend, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Let me pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity to be in this place around friends. This is very much, I know for my wife, it is home in a very real sense to her. But for me personally, it's always like coming home. I appreciate this church. I appreciate the ministry, the spirit of the place. And Father, it's a testimony of your goodness and your grace and your mercy throughout all the years of this ministry. Father, I pray for this ministry and I pray you keep it going forward till you send your son to come get us. And Lord, I pray, Lord, to just stand true, that you help the people to continue to follow the leadership of the church. And Lord, bless the pastor and his wife, put a hedge of protection around him. Help me as I preach this morning in Jesus' name. I pray and ask these things. Amen. Now, I know it's Sunday school, but when you're a preacher, it just breaks out on you like measles. So I can't help it. I will do some teaching, but we'll do some preaching this morning, and we'll get done here in a timely fashion. Here in this passage, you see the testimony that the Lord gives about Moses, the way he spoke to him. Now, the Lord spoke to people in all types of manners in the Old Testament, of course. He would speak to people through dreams. You see that with Joseph, right? He had dreams and God would speak to him through dreams. Sometimes he even spoke to lost people through dreams in the Old Testament. You look at Nebuchadnezzar, right? He had some dreams. He just didn't know what they were about. He had to have somebody interpret those things. Sometimes they were visions, right? You see Jacob, he had that vision of the ladder, right? He had the vision. And so sometimes there was visions and sometimes God used angels to speak to people. And so he would send an angel down and the angel would say, thus saith the Lord, and they would pass on that message. But here, the Bible says about Moses, it was kind of a unique way that God would speak to Moses where he didn't speak to a lot of people in the Old Testament. The Bible says he spoke to him face to face as a man speaketh unto his friends. When you look at the children of Israel, and God would speak, you notice that the tabernacle was set outside the camp, and everybody that wanted to hear from God, they had to go where the tabernacle was, right? But when it comes to Moses, Moses had an inroad with God that nobody else in the children of Israel seemed to have. Even Aaron the priest didn't have, the high priest didn't have the inroad that Moses had with God. Sometimes when I look at the Old Testament, I look at God's people, it looked like at least the way their relationship was with God is they kind of pulled back because they had a fear. By the way, it's not bad to have a fear of God. A healthy fear of God is a good thing. I wish more people had a healthy fear of God today. But when it comes to our relationship with God, we shouldn't be so fearful and fretful that we don't want to draw close to Him. You know, the Bible says that we're supposed to draw nigh unto God, and He'll draw nigh unto us. But if God's people kind of say, well, I resist that, and they shy away from that because of His holiness, then we're not going to get to know Him like we're supposed to. And so Moses had a relationship, and he had an insight to God that most people didn't have, simply because, hey, listen, he loved the Lord, right? And he wanted to hear from God. Now, as I sat and I looked at this, I thought, well, Lord, what is in Moses' life that would cause him to have this type of relationship that nobody else seemed to have? What is it in Moses' life that I can draw from so that you will speak to me face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend? I would love it if God would want to sit down and talk to me like he speaks to, you know, like you would speak to your best friend, right? My wife, I tell people this all the time, my wife on earth is my best friend. So she's my confidant. I sit down and I talk to her, and, you know, I can open up about things and just talk, right? Everybody has friends, but then you have what we call best friends, right? And I think they have, I don't know, they have all kinds of things, initials for that and things that they write about and monograms and all those types of things. But when I sit down and I talk to my wife, I don't feel awkward about talking to her, anything. We just talk. And that's how, it's interesting, that's how I believe God felt with Moses. You just sit down and talk to him like you talk to your friend, just about anything. That's an amazing thing. That's an amazing testimony concerning Moses. So what I'm going to give you this morning is I'm just going to give you a few things, and I'll hustle through this. About Moses' life, I think we can pick up in order to have the same type of relationship Moses had with God. So let me give you those things real quick. Number one is this: Moses was real with God. If you go back to Exodus chapter number 3, now for the sake of time, let's not do that. But if you go back to Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4, this is where Moses sees the burning bush in chapter number 3. And so he sees that burning bush and he turns aside. And I always think that's unique, because if I saw a bush that was on fire but it wasn't being consumed, that would freak me out. Moses goes towards it. I'd be thinking, what do I do with that? You know, that's kind of odd. But he goes towards it. And remember, he goes up there and he gets near that bush. And God speaks to him out of that bush and says, hold on, where you're standing is holy ground. Take your shoes off. And Moses takes his shoes off, and then God begins to speak to him and open up some things. Hey, this is what I'm going to do with your life. Now, we are often critical in chapter 4 of Moses because he begins to make excuse, right? But when I look in there, I think, you know what? Moses, we can be critical of him, and we can begin to make excuse on why we can't do things for God. And I believe that's a valid message of that. But I believe also Moses was just being open and real. He wasn't putting on a front with God, in other words. Sometimes, I think in our Christian life, if we're not careful, we go to God in prayer and we speak to Him, and we put on some sort of a front with God, like we're more spiritual than we really are. You know, God already knows who you are. You don't have to put on anything. You don't have to speak in a certain way, eloquently to you know, and wax a certain way in your speech to try and get an inroad with God, because you can't fool God. He's your friend, right? And, you know, when I speak to my wife, I don't have to put anything on with her. And she already knows what's going on with me. And I don't have to do that. By the way, if I were to do that, she would know that and say, hey, that's not right. That's not right. That's not you. And so I just want to encourage you. Hey, listen, just talk to him. Just be real with God. In Matthew chapter number 9, in verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, and behold, a certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemed. It's always amazing me, the Lord Jesus Christ, what he would do to the Pharisees and the scribes, and how he would, I like his sarcasm, and I enjoy that. But the Bible says in the next verse, says, Jesus knowing their thoughts. Remember, they thought within themselves. They didn't even say it out loud. He says, wherefore think ye evil in your heart? The reason I give that to you is because God already knew their thoughts. They could have just said it. It would have been just fine because he already knew what they were thinking. So when you're talking and you're speaking to the Lord and you go to the Lord in prayer, hey, just talk to him. Don't try and hide anything from him because you can't hide it anyway. Hey, listen, he's your friend, right? He's your friend. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, it says, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man that they are vanity. He knows our thoughts. And so, hey, just be real with God, okay? Just be real with God. Just speak to him and just, hey, don't put on anything. Don't put on that you're more spiritual than you really are. In fact, if you, and it can be the reverse, don't try and act more humble than you really are either, you know? Just be real. Just be who you are. God knows, okay? He knows where you're at, and he'll take you right where you're at, and he'll try and move you on from there, but just be real with God. Number two, Moses had a reverence for the holiness of God. So in Exodus chapter number 3, he takes off his shoes. Now, he could have said, no, I want to keep my shoes on. It's sandy out here. It's dirty out here. Remember where he's walking, right? He's out in the wilderness, right? He could have said, no, Lord, I think I keep my shoes on. Sometimes I worry about Christians concerning the holiness of God. They think they can do whatever they want, go wherever they want, say what they want, act how they want, think how they want to think, and think, well, if I'm like that, and then I just go to God and I just be real, and I'm saying be real, but hey, listen, when you go to him, remember who he is too. He is holy. In Exodus chapter number 15, verse 11, the Bible says there, this is Moses speaking. Moses got this. This is a song after they had made their exodus out. It says, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, is what the Bible says. Glorious in holiness. I still think that God's people have forgotten about how holy God is. Isaiah, when he looked, got that vision of the Lord, says he's high and lifted up and his train filled the temple. Is that the God that we're going to? Now, you be real with him and you just talk with him, but remember who he is. Don't flaunt your sin with God. Don't flaunt your lifestyle with God. If you're not right with him, hey, get right with him. Hey, be real with him, right? But get right with him. In Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and saying to them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now, I've had people say, well, that's Old Testament. And so, you know, the Old Testament, we're in the New Testament, so that doesn't apply. But guess what? That verse is in the New Testament, too. It's amazing how that works, isn't it? And people try and excuse themselves from the Old Testament. Well, I don't have to live the Old Testament. We're not underneath the law. But boy, we don't like it if they came in and, like, killed our, you know, friends. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill, right? They apply the law where they want to apply the law. But that being said, the Bible does say, God states, we're supposed to be holy, separated, a peculiar people. There should be something different in our life. We've got young people up here, and maybe some of you look at some of the rules and things that are here at the church, and you kind of resist that. I don't think anybody does, probably, but you may resist that. Hey, listen, you don't need to resist that because God is holy. And that's how you have to approach him in holiness. Amen. It's good for us. You be real with him, but remember who you're talking to. In Proverbs chapter 1, we know this. The Bible says in verse 7, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's where you start in your knowledge of God, is to fear him. That's where you start. If we start with, hey, he's just one of us. No, the Bible, he was never one of us, even when he was in his earthly ministry. He took on the form of a man. But he's separate from sinners, book of Hebrews. And so when we approach him, remember, hey, listen, that's the beginning. That's your starting place. Remember that he's holy. And Moses, I believe when he came to God, yes, he was real, but he knew who he was speaking to, and he held God in high regard. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And listen to this, and it says, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. The reason many Christians don't understand what they're doing and why they're doing it is because they lack in their knowledge of holiness. We've got lots of churches out there, different types of churches, and you know, there's this what's called the emergent church and all those types of things, but there's what I call them is, listen, they're backslidden or they're the spirit of Antichrist, period. Because they're not of God, because they don't practice the holiness of God. And they lose their direction on what they're doing and why they're supposed to be doing what they're doing simply because they forgot God is holy. And so they lack wisdom, true wisdom, God's wisdom, because they forgot he's holy. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. The closer you get with holiness, the more you're going to understand and see things. Why is it during this last 15, 16 months when things got really weird in the world? Why is it that there's some Christians that can see it and see what was taking place and what is going on and the movement that's taking place and has been preached, this spirit of Antichrist that is, by the way, that's not anything new. The spirit of Antichrist has been around for a long, long time. Remember the whole New Testament that was written there. Listen, they were looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like we look for the return, right? They were warned of that spirit of Antichrist at that time. It's not something new, but I believe there's something boiling and bubbling up, right? Getting set for some things. But why is it some Christians can see that and some can't? Maybe because they forgot God's holy. So they lack understanding. They can't see it. Now, I could jump down that road and go down there a little bit further, but we've got a time to get done. And so Proverbs 23, it's verse 17, says, "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." Proverbs 16:6 says, "By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil." Moses had a reverence for the holiness of God. That's why God could get close to him. Number three this morning, Moses had a spirit of obedience. Moses had a spirit of obedience. In Exodus chapter 7, verse 10, the Bible says, "And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so," listen to this, "as the Lord had commanded." When they went to Pharaoh, they didn't have their own idea on what they were going to say and how they were going to do things. They didn't add to what the Lord said for them to do. They didn't negate anything or avoid anything. They just did, the Bible says, as the Lord had commanded them. You know, it would just do us good if we'd realize that the Word of God really is the authority in our life. And that what He says really does go. By the way, everything that God speaks, it shall come to pass. And so whatever's in the Word of God, hey, listen, just take it for what it is. God trying to help you, God trying to help me, and God trying to direct our lives. Just take it for what it is and just obey it. God's not going to get close to you if you're not willing to obey what He has to say for you.
Right. Yes, sir.
I find that there's a lot of Christians out there that say, "Oh, yeah, I want to live for Jesus," but then Jesus tells them what to do, and he says, "Well, I don't want to do that." Well, how close can he get at that point? In ministry, as far as my life is concerned, there's certain people that I want to try and help because I know that they want help. In counseling, if I'm giving counsel to people and I give them something to do, if they go and do it, then I want to help them some more. Does that make sense? But if somebody comes in for, like, let's say marriage counseling, and I give them some things to do, and then they come back to me and they say, "Well, this is just not working out." I said, "Well, do you do this? And did you do this? Did you try and do this?" And, "Well, no." "Okay, well, I don't have time for you anymore." You say, "That's kind of cold." No, it's not cold. It's the reality of if they don't want it, I can't keep helping somebody that doesn't want it. I can't get close to them and I can't engage them unless they want to be able to receive those things which they're given. And God is the same way. The more we resist his word, the further he draws back. He can't get close to people that don't want to listen. I give that to you this morning because I know what the preaching is in this church. By the way, I listen to the sermons online. I do that because sometimes I have a hard time. No, I need stuff to preach, you know. I listen to them because, I like old-fashioned preaching. When I'm on the job, I'm working flooring. I do that 3 days a week. I still do that. And when I'm doing that, I listen to preaching. That's what I do. I have two things that I listen to while I'm at work. I have a Bible app, so sometimes I'll just put the Bible app on. I'll just listen to the Word of God. And then the other thing is I listen to preaching. So there's several different preachers that I'll listen to. And so sometimes I'll listen to preaching 8, 9, 10 hours, sometimes longer. When I bring my kids with me, I always make sure the day's longer day of work. And that's what we do. And that's what I do. And, you know, I do that because the preaching of God, the Bible says it's the power of God unto them that are saved, right?
Amen.
I want God's power in my life. But listen, the more I hear the Word of God and listen to it and obey it, the closer God's going to want to draw to me.
Sir.
You can listen to a lot of things. You know, people, you can listen to a lot of things. You can watch TV, you can get on a device, and you can listen to a lot of things. But I want to encourage you, listen to preaching. Listen to God's Word. And as you listen to it, say, whatever God tells me, that's what I'm going to do. And when you do that, He wants to get close to you. He'll start to begin to speak to you as a man speaketh unto his friend. We'll get to why that's so important in just a moment. But he had a spirit of obedience. Let me give you another example. Remember when Moses went up to get the tables of stone? Remember that? And God wrote the commandments with his own finger. You remember what happened when Moses came down? What was taking place? Idol worship was taking place, right? And as he comes down, he's carrying the commands of God to help the children of Israel, and they're already breaking his commands. They'd already set up another god and a graven image. They already began to worship something else. They already had departed from the very God that brought them to the place that they were at. And Moses got all irritated, right? And he threw down the tables of stone, broke them. And what did God tell him to do? God said, I want you to hew out by your hand. I want you to hew out two tables of stone like the ones that you brought down. You say, well, why is that so important? Why are you giving that? Because if it was me, I would have made sure if I'm hewing them out and I got to carry them back up that hill, they're going to be smaller. Surely God can write smaller, couldn't he? He can carve it. He can write it in finer print, right? Like 8-point font. And so I would have carried up a tablet, you know, about this size. And carried that up and carried it back down and said, I got God's word. No, but what did Moses do? The Bible says that Moses, he rose up early in the morning, just like the Lord asked him to. And he climbs up Mount Sinai. And the Bible says, as the Lord had commanded him. He just did it the way God wanted him to do it. But listen to this. Exodus chapter 40, verse 16, this is the testimony of Moses' life. It says, thus did Moses according to all that the Lord had commanded him. So did he. No wonder God got close to him. Amen? Number four this morning, Moses was easy to be entreated. In other words, you know, when you talk to somebody, there's certain people you can talk to, and it's just easy to talk to them, right? Just easy to talk to them. And then there's other people, you start talking to them, you think, okay, I'm going to go talk to somebody else. because they're easy to talk to, they listen, they engage, all those type of things. And Moses is one of those guys. The phrase, the Lord spake unto Moses, is found 105 times from Exodus to Deuteronomy, that phrase. And then the phrase, the Lord said unto Moses, so just a little bit different there, is found 55 times from Exodus to Joshua. So 160 times in that time frame, the Bible says that the Lord spake or said unto Moses. Why would he speak to him that many times? Because he listened. He was easy to be entreated. So you got next service, Pastor Jerry's going to get up and preach. Will you listen to what God's saying? Will you check out? I know people come. Hey, listen, I understand about being tired and all those types of things and coming in. And I have an advantage on Wednesday nights when I'm preaching because I come in from work and I am tired, but I'm standing and I'm going to preach and I'm tired. If I fall asleep while I'm standing, I'm in trouble. And but I get it. People come in and they're tired, and I have compassion on that. But when I was at Bible college, one of the things I'd do anything I could to try and stay awake. Now sometimes it didn't matter what you did, and you have hard pews here, and so head and hit. That's the way you woke up. You're like, oh, and then you think, did anybody see that? And you look around, nobody saw it, but you walked out with this mark on your head, and so everybody knew exactly what happened. It was him again. hey, listen, do whatever you can to try and engage yourself into the preaching of God's word.
Yes, sir.
Why is that important? So God will speak to you.
Yes.
Easy to be entreated. Number five this morning, Moses had an unwavering trust in God. He just believed God would do what he said. He just trusted him. In Exodus chapter 14 there, we have the children of Israel in that chapter. They have made their exodus out. They have spoiled the Egyptians. They have come to now the Red Sea. We know the story, right? They've come now to the Red Sea. And they are literally in a rock and a hard place because the Red Sea is here. Now, they can travel around, but they've got mountains. If you look at the geography there, they've got rocky, high-cliffed mountains right near the Red Sea. And now you have the Egyptian army coming behind them. They have no place to go with that many people and hide. They're stuck. And remember the people? They're freaking out, right? They're fearful. They're fretful. They're wondering, why did you bring us out here so we can die, right? That was always their theme, right? Why'd you bring us out here to die? But Moses didn't, he didn't even bat an eye. He didn't blink at a thing. He just said, stand still. He tells them to fear not and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, after that, remember what takes place. He's got to hold his rod out over the Red Sea, right? Now, I don't know if any of you are like this. I'm going away from the microphone. It was being recorded. I move. I get nervous, and so I got to move. But I don't know about you, but when I pray, and I believe God, but I'm like kind of like that guy in the New Testament. Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Anybody else like that? And if I was Moses, he says, fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. Now he's got to hold his rod out. I'd be going to hold the rod out going, dear Lord, I hope this works. Anybody else like that? Yeah, that's how I'd be. But I don't see that in Moses. He just had an unwavering trust that God would do what he said. He believed God. And God, as a result, draws close to him. He says, hey, I want to sit down and talk with that guy. He trusts me. My children, and all my children have a lot of energy. But one of the things I try and help them with is to just trust their daddy. And it's a lot easier for me to be able to talk to them and engage them if they'll just trust me. They don't have to know all the ins and outs on how everything works. They just need to trust me. The reason so many Christians miss out, I believe, on knowing God better is because they won't trust him. They get fearful. They get fretful. How is this going to work? How is this going to take place? And listen, it all works out. During this last year and a half, and everything went haywire, people are freaking out. Why? Why? Don't we know what's going to happen? We're worried about, and let me just jump down this, and I got to be done here, and we'll finish up here. People worry about, what's going to happen with our country? You say, do you know what's going to happen with the country? Not exactly, no. But I do know this. God will take care of everything. Well, what if we lose all our freedoms? They can't take God from you, can they? What if it becomes, in this country, illegal to do what we're doing today? Well, I just don't know if we can meet. They might kill us. Oh, no. You say, well, I don't want to die. I don't either. I'm not looking for it. But I know where I'm going. God's got it taken care of. You know, in the Bible, there's been pestilence before. We act like this thing was a new thing. It was manufactured in a lab, and it could have been. But it doesn't have any effect unless it crosses God's desk first. He says, yeah, okay.
Amen.
We forgot that God really is in control. Hey, the devil can't touch your life until he goes to God and asks permission. Our problem is we don't trust him. That's why in the United States of America, our churches, God, I believe in a lot of them, is so far away simply because we won't trust him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let me give you just the last two points, and then we'll dismiss, and then you can think about them. But Numbers 6, Moses faithfully delivered God's word. As the Lord commanded Moses is used 40 times in the scriptures. And 35 of those people were obeying what God had said because Moses was delivering the message. And they did what God said because he was faithful to deliver the message. So just pass it along. Number 7 this morning, Moses desired more of the presence of God. Our text that we came into, Exodus 33, Moses got to see something that nobody else got to see. Remember? He asked for it. He wanted it, right? And God put him in the cliff of the rock, covered his face and said, I'll walk by you. You can't see my face. But I'll show you my hinder parts. He got to see something nobody else saw. By the way, people that walk with the Lord and get to know God, they see things about God that nobody else gets to see. And I'll conclude with this verse. This summarizes Moses' life. In Deuteronomy 34 and verse 10, God says about Moses, it says, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses. Listen to this. Whom the Lord knew face to face. I just want to encourage you. Hey, just walk with God. Get to know him. And maybe he'll speak to you as a man speaks unto his friend. Wouldn't that be good?
Amen.
Father, I thank you for the opportunity. Lord, I pray you bless the service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.